I hate you. I hate you so much, Kai.
Has it been a long week? Do you need a break?
Are you stressed? Stuck in your job? Maybe you need an escape.
I'm Beth Dybel.
I'm Tatiana Abaro.
And I'm Ezekiel Kajakai. And this
is Escape Break,
where we discuss all things escape rooms in Southern California.
The good.
The bad.
The funny.
And don't forget the awkward.
Trust me, I wish I could.
This show is just on the horizon. Get ready to sit back, relax, stop working, and take a break with us.
Welcome back, everyone, to Escape Break. I'm Ezekiel Kajakai, and on the other side of the microphone, I have Beth Dybel. What's up, Beth?
Hello, hello.
And on the hot seat today, we have Tatiana Abaro. Tati, how you feeling?
I am intrigued to see what these questions are, and I'm ready for all the crazy. So let's do this.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, this is Escape Break on the Cager Express podcast, where we normally talk about escape rooms throughout Southern California and beyond. But to start 2024, we're taking some time to get to know us. Our previous episode involved getting to know the lovely Beth Dybel, and today we're going to get to know the wonderful Tatiana Abaro. Now, Tatiana is somebody I've known for almost 8 years now, I believe is what we decided.
So sad. 8 years, yeah.
8 years.
Yeah.
And she is one third of this crazy Escape Break team. But Tati, you know how this is going to start. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to describe yourself to the listeners, however you want to describe yourself. Your 30 seconds. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Begins now.
I'm Tatiana. I'm half Filipino, half Hispanic. I love escape rooms. I did my first one in 2015, and I have been addicted since. I've played a little over 300 at this point. The dream would be to own one in some capacity and feel the fire that is within my soul. And my crazy self started the Escape Room SoCal page and now has 5,000 members. So please join.
Boom.
Woohoo.
Very, very good. And you really traversed a lot of elements that make you you, which is, I think, the hardest thing to do. We tend to label people in this world, put people in a box. We're all very multidimensional. So very well done. Did you practice for that 30 seconds?
I did not.
Well,
he's ready for the hot seat.
Ready for the hot seat. We'll try to get it as hot as possible, especially because it's cold.
I don't think
it's
there's
so
no
cold.
Oh my gosh, it is. I was going to say, I don't think there's going to be a one take Jake here.
No one take Jake.
I don't know. My reaction to some of these, I feel like, are going to be a little absurd.
True, true. Let's see how it goes. We're going to start with some escape room based questions, then get into some serious ones, more getting to know her outside of escape rooms. And then we're going to end the episode with some silly questions. If you're having immense regret that you didn't get to submit a question, please send us a question at The Cager Express on Instagram or Facebook. We'll include it in a future episode, but today you missed out. So, Tati?
Yeah.
Your first question, keeping it on brand. You are our NorCal correspondent. Although you started here in SoCal, our listeners want to know, do you see a difference in the scene of escape rooms between NorCal and SoCal? If so, can you describe, and which is better for escape rooms, north or south?
Yes, I do see a difference. I noticed that there aren't as many in Northern California as there are in Southern California. I feel like every city pretty much has an escape room in Southern California, whereas here, it's kind of far and few between. When I first moved here, I did all of the ones within like a 20-mile radius of me within a couple months. So that doesn't really say much. I've already had to go far places. Kai, you know, Yuba City.
Yuba City. Literally on driving,
yes, an hour, 45 minutes, one way to go play some awesome rooms. No regrets, but that's not common in SoCal. So I would think that's the biggest difference is the amount of escape rooms. Now, you asked which one's better. So I was actually having this conversation recently, and I would say that there are a handful that are top tier, like S tier for video gamers up here in the Bay. And then it's like everything else is ranked B or C, in my opinion. So the difference is you have really, really strong caliber rooms up here, but you also get that down in SoCal. I just don't think there's that many. And it's debatable. That's fine. But like if I had to pick some of my tops, a lot of them are actually up here.
Okay.
So if when we do top 10s, you'll see probably like four or five of them are up here. But I've played more in SoCal.
That's true.
It's really difficult. And again, top 10s are opinion-based. All of this is opinion-based. But I would think that there are very strong rooms in NorCal. There's just a lot more rooms in SoCal that are like A tier, if that makes sense.
It does.
I think that makes sense.
Let's talk about the low of the lows. Is there a higher chance that if you started your escape room journey in SoCal or NorCal, that you could hit a room that might deter you from loving escape rooms? Like, which place has the worst of the rooms?
Oh my gosh. Now that I've gotten so far into my escape room career, I guess, I don't go to the ones that I know are bad. Whereas in the beginning, I didn't know. We didn't have Morty. We didn't have the Facebook page, right? Like, yeah. I had no idea. I had Groupon and accidentally bumping into one, you know, like that's how I found them. So I have played my worst rooms in SoCal. And that's not to say that there isn't something equivalent in NorCal.
Yeah. All right, Beth.
I love Southern California, though.
It's polarizing.
Hater, you guys heard it here. So I'm going to keep it on the escape room theme for now. But my question is, I'll give you like a little bit of a backstory to lead up to the question. But basically, you're trying to convince somebody that escape rooms are cool. They're being a huge hater. They don't get it. You know when you're trying to explain escape rooms and they're like, I just don't understand what the point is.
Okay.
I want to know what room that you would take them to change their mind. Kind of show them what it's all about.
I love that. Where am I?
You could be wherever you want. Haters are everywhere. There's a hater taking escape room too.
It's very timely that you said that. I actually just took four people to their first escape room ever this past weekend. And I thought it was an easy game. Shame on me. Easy is not easy all the way across, right? It was difficult for them. And I felt bad that it was difficult. So I would find something. If I was in SoCal, I think 13th room is an awesome, awesome game.
Definitely.
It's not too difficult. It's a little bit scary, but not too scary to deter people. And I feel like the puzzles are straightforward enough to make sense that people that are new to the game can grasp the concept and then get that high from the reward.
Mm-hmm. As well as the high from just like the adrenaline and this, you know, some of the scares and all of that. I think it's a great room.
I think so too. So I would definitely recommend that one. I would try to stay away from Chains just because I would want their first experience to be with like a mom and pop feel. Mm-hmm. And I think those give something more intimate.
Yeah, definitely, definitely agree with you there. It's a different experience. It's more special almost.
Yeah.
Back to you, Kai. I'm sure you got something crazy up your sleeve.
I have a lot of crazy. I don't know if this is evident thus far.
I've got a lot of crazy.
I really like emotions. Like, I'm a very emotional person. So, Tati, I'm going to ask you this question. When it comes to escape room memories.
Okay.
What is a memory that could potentially make you cry?
Escape rooms only?
Escape room related only.
I think there's one thing that stands out the most. And Kai, you were there. And this was out of fear. So we had to play Bloody Elbow. No, not we had to. We chose to.
We paid to play.
Yeah. So anyways, somebody, I, for some reason, I told them that I was the scared person of the group. I was so terrified. Kai, I wonder who told them that. Kai?
Who?
You.
Was it really?
Yes, you. I got so mad at you. Anyways, so there was four of us in this room. And this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler. But the way you start is separated. And the way you start this game is someone is locked up and they have to do some stuff in the dark and put their arms and hands in the unknown. You all know that I am very, very scared. I'm very terrified of anything of that sort. It took about 5 to 10 minutes in the beginning of the room. I felt so bad and I still feel bad. Like, we escaped, but I still felt so bad because the other guys were like strapped to chairs, strapped to tables. Kai was in the cell next to me. Like, I literally went to his cell and I was like, Kai, I don't think I could do this. And all three of them were just hyping me up and I loved it so much. I finally got the courage to do this. And the whole time I'm doing this, I'm swinging my arms so that if somebody's there, I'm hitting them at this point. And I'm yelling all the cuss words in the book. And so then I did whatever needed to be done, passed it on to Kai. And then I just sat down. I was shaking. I was sweating. So that makes me want to cry, Kai.
You know, I purely asked this question out of curiosity and I had forgotten the level of detail that you just recounted. I do remember that I caused that. But hopefully my support and encouragement in the cell next door established a friendship, because at that time we were still budding as friends in my mind.
This is true. This was our first like marathon of games.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think I had just revealed that my girlfriend of 2 years, we had broken up. Yes. I think that was that trip.
Yes. And I didn't know. And it was a little awkward on the drive.
It's okay. It's okay. No, that's an awesome memory. I didn't know it stuck with you that much. So I do apologize.
But it's okay. But that has been like, I can picture everything perfectly because of how much that really, really terrorized me. So thank you, Kai.
You're very welcome. All right, Tati, we have a listener question. Now, this listener is a very, very special person, not only to us here at Escape Break, but to you specifically.
Mm.
Now, this question was submitted late in the game.
Oh.
But this question is an evolution of my question. So I'm going to tell you what my question is, and I'm going to allow you to dodge my question to answer this question, okay? So my question, I was going to put you on the spot and say, hey, if you had to draft a team of 5 humans, who would be your ultimate team? It was okay. It was an ego play. I wanted you to just choose me, right? But instead,
I just rolled my eyes for those people who can't see me.
That was a hard roll too. So instead of running the risk of hurting my ego and not choosing me on your team.
Okay.
We have a question from Kev James, your boyfriend.
Yes.
So here is your question. and you may need some time to think, so please
okay.
take one. With the fate of the universe on the line,
death beam
pointed at Earth, you have to escape an escape room created by aliens in 60 minutes. Who is on your team of five? You can choose real people, like me, or you can choose fictional people.
Oh.
You are one of the five, so I need four other people on your team.
So is this an escape room, or I'm trying to escape a real life event?
Based upon how it was presented to me, it's an escape room that's created by aliens, meaning there is a consequence, probably more than just not escaping if you don't make it out.
Mm.
So you need to win.
I need my S tier.
You need your best players. Again, you can choose real people that you've actually played with, or you can choose fictional people. You can choose celebrities that you've never played with, you just think would be good. The choice is yours.
I'm going to go with the known because I don't like playing the unknown game. Okay. So I'm going to choose people that I've played games with before. I'm thinking of all the teammates that I've ever had. So give me 1 second.
Take your time.
That's like a lot of them. That's a long list.
There are a lot of people. There are a ton of people.
Yeah, collectively, we're close to 1,000 games, all three of us. So we've certainly played a lot of games. While we have groups that we have gone on runs with, the team makeup has changed quite a bit.
Okay, so I kind of think I know why he asked this question, because of a conversation we had recently.
Okay.
And I told him what I thought was the A team. So I'm going to give you who I think. So obviously myself.
Good choice.
Thank you. Hey, so four other people. I'm going to choose Kevin.
Okay. Also a good choice.
Thank you. I will choose Kai. Kai is very excited and pumped right now.
Decent choice.
Kai just threw up confetti in the camera and everything.
Yeah. I don't know if you've met her, Kai, but I'm going to choose my coworker who I've played escape rooms with before. Her name is Amy.
Okay.
She is a puzzle fiend. She is all about escape rooms, and she's just a fantastic teammate.
Nice.
Shout out Amy.
Yes. Oh man, fifth spot. I'm gonna throw it back to an OG teammate that we don't play a lot with anymore. But when he's around, it's a good time. I'm gonna choose Matt.
Let's go.
Yeah. So that's gonna be my team of five.
Without Matt, Tati and I meet in a very different way. So I love the fact that Matt made the team. That was the OG team. When I started playing with Tati, he was part of that Bloody Elbow adventure.
Yes, he was.
That's a great team. That's a great team. I don't think I've met Amy unless she was in the office that one time I came by.
She was there. Yes.
Awesome.
She remembers you as the crazy sock guy.
That's a good one.
Guys, socks are great. Great answer, Tati. You have survived the question from Kev.
Well, that's good. That's pretty tame. I thought he was going to give me something scary. He came to me and he was like, can I still submit questions to Kai? And I was like, I don't know. Message him. Ask him.
Yes. Like Creed with arms wide open. I wanted that question in here.
We've done a lot of escape room things. So Tati, I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want an escape room question or a general question?
Escape rooms.
Perfect. If you could choose an escape room character that best represents you, who would you choose? And if you can't think of a character, you could choose a room instead.
Ooh.
And I know there's a lot of characters, lots of rooms out there. So take your time.
I like that question.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a funny answer.
All right. Yay. Okay.
It's going to take some explanation, but I'm going to go with the witch in Weeping Witch.
What?
Whoa! I was not expecting that from you.
Before you move on to explain, I really need to know, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but did you even look at the witch?
Yes, I saw the witch. Okay. And yes, the witch is scary looking.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so the witch likes black. I love to wear black. Let's start with superficial right there.
Okay, check.
So the weeping part, if you know me pretty well, I tend to cry with strong emotions. So whether I'm extremely happy, extremely mad, extremely sad, just tears start to fall from my face. And I can't help it. It kind of sucks sometimes, but it is what it is. So that's the weeping part. And then the witch is kind of like the spookiness. I feel like I can sense the things around me sometimes. And I've only encountered good things, which is good. But I have a tendency to scare people on accident, like really well. I'm really, really good at it. I was literally standing in the hallway because I knew someone was going to come out of a room at work today. And she got so frightened that I was standing there. You guys, I was wearing regular clothes. I didn't have my hair in front of my face like the rain girl. I looked perfectly normal. And she just goes, oh my God, I'm going to die. And I was like, okay, well, just need to go to the bathroom. So
was it dark?
There was lights everywhere in a public area.
Weird.
I don't even know how I scare people sometimes. And some people don't even know. I don't know if it's like I'm quiet. I walk quietly. I'm just like a pretty quiet person. So sometimes people don't even notice that I'm there or I'm coming around the corner. And so that also scares people. I've even scared Kevin at home, just like walking into the room because he didn't hear me and I'll just start talking and he like will jump and yelp.
So Oh no.
That's why I'm going with the weeping witch.
Yeah. I like that answer.
Unexpected answers is what this episode should be called. That wouldn't have been in my top five in terms of who you I thought you would have chose.
I wasn't even thinking anybody scary.
It's very true. It's very true. All right, weeping witch. This question is more about getting to know you, and it's coming from me.
Okay.
And we're gonna get deep.
Let's do it.
Tati.
Guy.
What do you believe the most valuable life skill is to learn and why?
Would communication count?
Communication would count. And so, if you choose that, I'll tell you after why it's
oh gosh. Interesting. Okay. So my answer for this is communication. And I feel like you can use this on all levels of your life, whether it's work, relationships, or friendships, anything. I think communication is really important. I like to think of it as the foundation, because if you can't even get on the same page, how are you supposed to move forward to step two? So I think relaying information, and I try to practice this a lot. And I don't know, sometimes it might come off as overbearing. When I plan things, I will have texts that just go out to you guys. And I appreciate, if even if you don't respond with a text, if you just thumbs up it or you heart it, acknowledging me, that's a form of communication. If I'm just giving you information and I know that you read it and you registered it, cool. I'm good with that. If you don't acknowledge me, period, then I'm going to follow up because I tried to tell you something in the first place for a reason. So that's like one example. I think communication is super, super important.
I would agree.
That's a good one.
The reason why I smirked is I thought about what you might say and also what I might say. And communication was certainly in the mix. So the fact that you said it, I was like, oh, okay.
I think it would also help with understanding a lot too. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if you are able to communicate clearly and respectfully, it helps with understanding situations. And so sometimes that's why arguments happen or disagreements happen. It's because one person didn't understand the other person, right? Mm-hmm. So I think enhancing communication skills could prevent that from happening.
Yeah, it's a universal skill and that applies everywhere. I think whether it's on that level, relationships, friendships, diplomacy, government, etc., workspace. But to bring it back to escape rooms, why do people fail escape rooms? They don't communicate, right? Someone has the code, the other person's not listening. Somebody's even trying to tell somebody, hey, I have what you need. I have a symbol that looks like that thing over there. No one listens to others. That's where escape room teams fail. Mm-hmm. It's the lack of listening to communication.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Tati for president.
Oh, no, thank you. They don't get paid enough for all the issues.
That's true. All right, let's continue to get to know Tati.
My question for you, Tati, is what's a story you could tell us about your current workplace? It could be a funny, a sweet, a crazy story, just whatever comes to mind.
So for those that don't know, I work in forensics. I'm a forensic scientist and I do chemistry and crime scenes. So a lot of what I do is confidential. I can't share too much about the work that I do specifically, but I can tell about a cool story, including drug dog training. Sorry, that just seems so weird to say out loud. But I'm sure people have seen videos of dogs going after people that look like the Michelin Man, and they have like all these layers of protective gear, right? When I was working, we had a canine handler come to us and say, hey, do you want to participate in the dog that's training? And this one was specifically training for drugs, but also for finding humans. So what we did is we hid in this bathroom. It was me and my coworker. And these dogs are so built, they're so strong and intense. But when they're off the clock, and they do have commands that tell them when they can relax and when they need to work, but when they're off the clock, they are just like every other dog that want to play with toys and get all cute with you. But when they're serious mode, it is terrifying. So in this case, they had the dog probably about a half a mile away, and the command was to go find us. And we were in this bathroom, and the only thing that we had protecting us was this door, and we locked it. We didn't have the Michelin Man protective gear or anything like that. The dog found us, and you could hear it just like sniffing around, and then it finally alerted. So then it started scratching, and then it started jumping on the door. This door was not new. It was old, and it started creaking and like bending. And at some point we were like, holy shit, I hope they don't knock down the door because we have no protective gear. And my coworker was videoing the whole entire time. So finally, after about 3 minutes, the handler called the dog back and we didn't even have to unlock the door. It was already open for us. Like,
oh my God,
there's something that he did to the doorknob on the other side that we couldn't even unlock it. It was just open the door. I was so nervous. But once that dog was off command and he smelled us again, it's like he had no recollection that I was going after them, after those people. And he let us like pet him and play tug with him. It was just the strangest experience. Like one second he's going after you because that's what he's supposed to do. And then the other second, oh, okay, let's play.
It's literally breaking down your door.
Yes, it's wild, but it's so fantastic.
Should have chose that dog.
Really cool story, Tati.
Thanks.
Oh my God, that's like a near-death experience, I feel like.
It felt like it, but I knew it was controlled. So I was like, can you control this faster, please?
Can you get your dog, please?
Yes.
Let's keep talking about dogs, because while we love escape rooms, we have a lot of dog lovers who listen to the show. So we have the question for you, Tati.
Okay.
What has been the most rewarding and frustrating thing about owning a husky? And have you fought the stereotype to own 3 huskies simultaneously?
Okay, so the most rewarding is honestly, when he comes to me, whenever I come home, I love coming home because he immediately comes to me and starts giving me kisses. And he wants to, so he shows his affection by putting his butt on my legs. And then I like pet his cute little butt. And I love that. And I just love how cuddly he is with me. Like specifically, he likes to cuddle. And sometimes when he's feeling extra lonely, he'll hop in the bed with us and he sleeps on my side of the bed and he plays Little Spoon. So I get to big spoon him and it's fantastic. Sometimes he'll even share my pillow with me. I love him to death. So that is some of the most rewarding aspects of having our dog specifically. The frustrations. I am a huge clean freak. I love cleaning. I love organizing. Hence why I love planning. Like that's all type A, Tati. Husky shed like no other. I have to have a vacuum running, whether it's myself or a Roomba, something every day. That's really been hard for me because I can't not clean. Like I don't like dirty. And I think Kai knows this. Like it's a little much. So like when people come over and they pet him and then I just see like literally balls of his fur fall to the ground. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I need to vacuum this. I've literally done that before. I think that's my biggest frustration. And I know you didn't ask me this, but I'm just going to put this out there. Huskies are adorable. They're beautiful. I just ask that people don't get huskies because of what they look like. It takes a lot of work for a husky. I'm really thankful that I have someone that works from home that can, you know, get all his energy out, but it takes a lot of work. So don't get a husky unless you're ready to put in that work and get all their energy out. And if it was up to me, I would 100% have 3 huskies. However, I do have a partner and he says 1 is good for now. So I have to comply. But trust me, I am looking all the time.
That is love.
Hey, maybe when you get a second husky, you'll get so much hair that you can make the third.
Honestly, I could do it now.
You're like, I got the second and the third already.
Yeah. And January is their biggest shedding season. They have 2 big shedding seasons and January is the biggest. Like it's to the point where I have a dog fur brush attachment on my Dyson. So I literally just brush him and then it goes straight into the vacuum. Like that's how.
Kind of a dope invention. I've never heard of that.
Thankfully, he's not scared of vacuums, so it's really easy. But most dogs are scared of vacuums.
That's true. Right. They're like, this screaming thing is sucking at me. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, exactly.
And your dog's like, just get the fur off. We're good.
All right. One more get to know you question, then we'll get to some silly ones to end the episode. Tati, very stereotypically, video games tend to break up relationships in terms of attention and whether or not they're suitable for adults. I want to know, what are your opinions on video games and if they belong in the adult world? And are you ever going to finish The Last of Us?
So I love video games. I play them myself. My boyfriend plays them and I support him 100%. I think there can be a good balance between finding the time to have video game time, but also, you know, do adulting things like making sure you're going to do grocery shopping or whatever, cleaning the house, right? Like, as long as you have a good, healthy balance with all of it, I think there is room for that in adult world.
Nice.
I support it so much that I encourage my boyfriend to go to a fighting tournament in Vegas. So yeah, I think it does belong. And if that's what makes your partner happy or makes you happy, then do it. So I support that. It's not like they're hurting anybody.
That's dope.
For The Last of Us, I have to find time to do it. Right now I'm in the middle of playing Spider-Man. So I have to do that. But I do want to play The Last of Us. I have a queue of games that I need to play. We're also in the middle of playing Baldur's Gate. So that's also taking a lot of time as well.
A lot to do, so little time.
I know, but we enjoy doing that, so it's not too bad. We're also big Marvel people. We're watching What If right now. They just released a new season for those that are interested.
Well balanced. All right, Tati, I have a silly but serious question. If you had to give up one of these two things, what would you choose? You'd have to give it up for the rest of your life.
Rest of my life. Okay.
Your options are as follows: sports and anything involving supporting sports, or escape rooms.
I hate you. I hate you so much, Kai.
For those that don't know, Tati is an avid Dodgers fan.
I love sports.
Other sports. She plays fantasy football. She'll watch sports with us. She probably has been to more sporting events than I have over the last several years.
I love the Raiders. I love the Dodgers. Those are my two teams. Not as big as into basketball. My boyfriend is a huge Warriors fan. Don't blame him. He's from NorCal. I grew up a Lakers, Clippers fan. Oh my gosh. I hate you for asking me this question.
This is escape break where it gets tough.
Wow, this is terrible. This is terrible because my answer would be giving up escape rooms and anything related. I know, but sports is my first love. I danced competitively. I played competitive soccer all the way up into high school. I danced after college. Like, that's my life. I like to go play basketball with my boyfriend, and that means I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, I can't give it up. And that makes me so sad. God, you're going to make me cry.
Recall a memory about escape rooms that made you cry. Not just
it's this. That is this. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think I would have to do that.
That's tough.
I have loved sports longer than I've loved escape rooms.
That is fair. For the sake of answering questions here imposed by me, I accept your answer and will forgive you.
I didn't even ask for your forgiveness. Get out of here.
We joke. Well, I don't know how much we joke. This question might come up later. Who loves escape rooms most?
Yes.
So I set this question to essentially have some evidence. But nonetheless, great job answering that question. The good news is sports and escape rooms can coexist.
You're the worst, Kai.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I have another question for you.
Okay.
This one, you know, we're leaning into the weird and wacky a little bit. So I feel like you're going to make a face that's like, what? And okay. I'm going to say I understand. So imagine you're in an empty room. There are no exit doors. There's literally nothing in the room. It's just blank room. Kind of treat it like a video game. So you have like an inventory. You can choose what's in your inventory. How are you going to go about escaping? I'm going to say there's like no limits. You could do whatever you want.
So if it was like anything, then I would have like a crayon of some sort or a marker and draw myself a door and leave the room.
Wow.
Oh, I love that. See, I wanted to ask this because I was like, there's literally... And like, you could answer this anyway. You could be like, I will set the room on fire and find a way out. I will get myself a hammer and break my way out. I loved that answer.
I'm very practical thinking and simple minded, I feel.
You're like, obviously I would just make myself a door.
So yeah, that's what I would do.
Wasn't there a show like that where the kid could draw whatever he wanted, like the magic crayon or something like that?
Wasn't it like Drawn in Blue or something? Or he had a blue crayon?
You're talking about Blue's Clues?
No, it was like a little kid.
It was like a storybook kind of thing.
And he could draw. It was also
a TV show.
It was also giving me like Mary Poppins vibes. You know how they have the scene with the chalk and they can kind of go to different scenes and stuff?
True, true.
Oh, It is Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Boom. Mm,
never Tati watched that.
And the Purple Crayon.
Oh, that's perfect because purple is my favorite color.
Tati and the Purple Crayon.
All right, Tati. This is your last question.
Bring
and
it.
And similar to Beth, I will give you a choice. Would you like to answer the question that puts you in some sort of a game show scenario? Or would you like to answer the question that requires you to have a bit of improvisation?
Game show.
Darn.
I love game shows.
Just so you know, the other question was this. Please recite a poem about Escape Break for the listeners.
Cool. Game show.
Game show. Okay. All right. You're not in a box anymore, but coincidentally, this is another situation where you have to survive. You're stuck on an island game show, like Survivor.
Okay.
You need to choose items you have in your home currently to help you survive as long as you can. What four items would you take and what would you use them for?
Are we just talking about tools or are we talking about like substance as well?
Anything in your home, but you can only choose four things. It could be tools. It could be food. You could also assume that there may be some sort of food to find on the island. Where do your priorities lie?
So I'm going to bring my Brita filter so I can have filtered water.
Okay. Filtering that ocean water.
Yep. I got to do something.
All right. Good choice.
I'm going to bring my really good chef's knife that is very sharp as my weapon. Does it count if I have something that's like a kit? Is that one thing?
Is it in a, and is it in like a box? Like
yes.
Like a toolbox?
Mm-hmm.
I'll allow it.
Hmm. Okay. I've got to go with something to make fire. I need fire of some sort. So I'm going to choose my, like those long stick lighters. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I'm going to choose that. And then I need warmth because I'm always cold. And if I'm going to be outside, I need warmth. So I might have.
But you just made fire.
Yes, but you think just being next to the fire is good enough?
And have you ever gone camping? It depends how big the fire. I'm just trying to help you out here.
I know, but I'm also thinking like predators. You don't know who's around and they get lured in by the fire too.
That's true.
Because you have to be strategic. I'm going to go with something that brings me warmth. So I'm going to choose this waterproof down comforter that I have.
Wow.
And I'm going to use that as my warmth.
All right.
That's four.
Nice. Brita, the knife.
Fire.
The lighter and the waterproof down comforter.
Yep.
Way to get specific. All right, Tati. The seat was hot, but Tati, you can get off the seat now unless you're still trying to stay warm.
Always.
But because this episode was about you, you get to end the episode and say goodbye to our Escape Break listeners.
And then you're free.
Thank you, everyone, for listening and learning about me. I hope you all have a fantastic day, night, whatever it is. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Hey, Kai. Guess what?
No, don't say it. I need more time.
Break time is just about over.
But Tati, what if they want more?
They can tune into the next episode.
Next episode?
Of course. There are so many more escape adventures to share.
Well, what can they do between now and then?
They can like us on social media.
Share this episode?
Yes, absolutely.
And what if they are new to the show?
Then I think they should go back and listen to all the great episodes.
Awesome. And don't forget to send in your questions to us. And be sure to tune in soon for your next Escape Break.